Again, good morning to everyone. My name is Ellen Cochran. I am a master's student at the University of Florida Indian River Research and Education Center. My advisor is Dr. Sandy Wilson. And at the same time, I am a full-time biological science technician at the USDA. It's the USHRL, also in Fort Pierce. And I work in a citrus breeding laboratory. Okay, so I know that we have a diversity in the audience today, where there's people who do apple, or they may do basil, or they may do flowers, whatever it may be. So what I use is citrus because that's what I work with. But if we can take a moment and this whole idea of the project and apply it to any sort of plant that you may be using, or any plant that you know of someone else may be using, because I think it's applicable certainly to more than just one species of plant. So you would think, well, why do we want an alternative method for citrus or any other? For citrus specifically, it's a temperamental plant. There are so many cultivars, there are so many different divisions between rootstocks and scions and very mature plants that don't start producing fruit until 5 to 8 years old, and then we have the juveniles. So propagation of citrus can be a touchy project. We're dealing with Huanglongbing, or HLB, citrus greening disease right now. The citrus industry in Florida is on the verge of collapse because of this disease. Everybody that I know that has something to do with citrus is working as much as they possibly can and with a lot of vigor to try and get something to the growers to help them keep themselves in business. So it would be helpful for that particular thing to be able to reproduce plants quickly. This sort of alternative method for conventional breeding programs from seed, say if you're a conventional breeder, but you've got a hybrid and all of a sudden you get one plant and you think, wow, that's the one I really want. You need to be able to replicate it, not just take a cutting and do a graft and have a scion, but you want a vegetative clone of the entire plant, roots, stem, leaves, the whole thing. So rooting of a cutting from that plant would give you that. Also transgenic or tissue culture breeding programs, same thing. That's what I happen to work with, is transgenic plants. We get something that has a very strong expression of a transgene, and maybe it's the only one of a certain transgene that we've tried to insert. That plant has to be replicated and carefully. You can't afford to lose the tissue because of the expense in going into to get that plant produced. The other part of it is research grants. If there are scientists here who work on cash, you know, work on grants and work on, monies that are not, say, federally funded, time is of the essence. You get money, you get time, and you need to show results. So speed is something that's important in this sort of process. So I'll say how it all began, and I'll say, well, a hypothesis was born. And it all began with TCE, which is tissue culture envy, and I'll explain the pH in a moment. This is a picture, obviously, people who do tissue culture are very familiar with it, of some rooted shoots. These shoots have been rooted on this media for 2 weeks. Because of the components of the rooting media that we use, the roots, they just fall out of the bottom. It's the most amazing thing. And I thought, I'm in the greenhouse and I'm trying to get these things to root and it's taking forever. And I thought, that's what I want. I need that, you know? And I started to think about, well, what can I do? And then the pH idea came along, which is, and hopefully you'll understand what I'm saying. Most of the ladies in the room might. You wake up one morning, your eyes are puffy, and you think, oh, what do I do for this? And well, here's a tube of preparation H. It's designed to reduce tissue swelling. So what do? It's a great beauty secret. Use it here. It is not where it was intended to be used, but it works. It absolutely works. And I got that idea and I thought, I want the media from in vitro to work in the greenhouse. And my hypothesis was that I could get it to work. So the plan of attack was the treatment. First, I'll talk about the solution. It's, if you've read the abstract, you understand the concentrations. Everyone knows what a MS media is, so I won't read it to you. Obviously, you can read the pH, and then we do a 20-minute soak with cuttings. There are three treatments and then the control of water. The main component would be the spermidine. This is the one that I have a lot of interest in because its ability to speed cell division. It can take, say, a rooting or a shoot induction from 2 to 3 weeks to a week. I mean, there is a marked change in speed of production. So our materials and methods. I've had two root stocks of citrus, US 812 and Carrizo Citrange. I did two cultivars, four treatments, 14 of each, 112 individual cones. I used an inert media, sand, was flushed weekly because we applied 5 mLs of the solution treatment per week. They are, especially in citrus, they love to, their roots like to grow down, so we put them in cones, climate control greenhouse, and then the data was collected weekly. You'll see where the bags, rubber bands, and patients come in when this is what my experiment looked like. And every week you take the bag off, you take the rubber band off, you check each cutting for any kind of root induction from there. So some of the characteristics that I noticed, first of all, Carrizo, and this is at 3 weeks, and from the little note underneath you can see it had little nodules the week before. It's unfortunately right here. Now I can see it. Yes, right here it got cut off, but that was in 1 week. So the difference between having a couple little root nodules to that was 1 week difference in the 3 week mark. The US 812 I had a lot of difficulty with. There was only one of them that rooted in the entire experiment. This is a picture of it, and the reason that I have it on here is because it was wounded. And if you look closely here, look at all the little potentially root nodules starting here, and then it did produce some roots at the bottom. The only one that rooted had been wounded. We'll look into that later. The resulting conclusions for this particular segment of the experiment, the US 812, obviously it was dismal. We had one that rooted and it was wounded. That puts a little spark in your mind thinking, okay, well maybe we've hit on something here. One, you know, rare events are important events, and the rare event was that it had rooted and it was the only wounded. The Carrizo did as expected. It's an easier rooter. So with the treatment A, which is the spermidine and no sucrose, and you may wonder why sucrose was added into this ex vitro experiment. It was because it was part of the media, and there was an idea to see if it would have any negative effects on what would happen. And I think that it did. And we'll see right here on the graph, the treatments that have sucrose are the bottom two. So that would be B and C. They took, and in my mind, and it's my hypothesis, that the added carbon created a carbon to nitrogen ratio imbalance that used up the available nitrogen, inhibited the ability for the plant to produce tissue. After about 3 weeks, and this is my hypothesis, the microbial populations sort of got an equilibrium going, and then everything loosened up and they began to be able to produce some roots. If you see treatment A, which is the spermidine and no sucrose, outperformed any of the others. And this is Carrizo because it's so easy to work with. If you notice, the second best performer was just plain water, which sort of surprised me. But what the main part that I'm looking at is not at 8 weeks, which they're close. It's way back here at 4 weeks. You see the difference in the speed that the spermidine with no sucrose media provided. It was at its 71%. Which was its mass at 5 weeks, which I thought was noteworthy. Take-home information from this particular thing, the US 812, obviously it needs some more optimization of the protocol. Carrizo is an easy rooter, but I think we could do better. The other thing I want to say is everyone else here is, I think, working on protocol-type improvement. And protocol improvement research is not, you know, you're not going to win a Pulitzer Prize. It's not stellar, but it's important because it's the component that makes each scientist's end research work. It makes it faster. It makes it more efficient. And as a mid-level technician, that's my job. So if I can do that and help science, if only in the mines, you know, in the middle section, in production, then I think that's a worthy pursuit for people to look into more research in the center of the research. So we're going to look at some of the future parts. We have more work to do, obviously, check out wounding and check out the integration of this into a system, which we're going to give you a little progress updates. It's very quick. This has been integrated into our lab protocol, and these are some changes that I've made in the past few months in working with this particular idea. The misting system works better than this is for citrus. Soilless media I do 10 times the spermidine concentration and 2 times all the other nutrients. No sucrose. This is in 500 mLs. And I cut, dunk, dip, and stick. When I cut my cuttings, I just float them in the solution until it's time to dip in some. I use a Hormidin powder and are getting excellent results. If you look at the picture here to the right, you can see down here at 7, that's a 2. That's the 2nd of July. 20 days later, this is the first leaf. This is new growth. Not only is it rooted, but it's got a few inches of new growth, which is also noteworthy. It was something that it made me very excited because it was across various varieties. There were 6 different varieties of plants, and they're all transgenic, all different genes. Who knows where the genes are inserted, but they're still responding like clockwork as far as the treatment for the rooting goes. So that's something that's very important. We're proud of that. The second little inquiry is the wounding. Did 3 treatments. This was just a quickie. And if you look here, the US 812, which did so dismally, did respond well with rooting when I wounded it. The first 2, the little purple, oops, I can't get the mouse to move. There we go. The little purple segments there are treatments that were from the original experiment. And you can see here, Carrizo was no surprise. We already knew that it would root easily. It does not like wounding. It rooted with water before, and now it didn't for 40 days. So no wounding for Carrizo. This is what we learned here. What we did learn is that the US 812 does want to be wounded. Look at all these plants. It was out of 10 that ended up producing some roots. So it's a exciting thing to know that that's another application that we can use for that. I got very good numbers because of the wounding of the 812. Here's some pictures of it. The top is Carrizo. This is a dip and talc. This is just the solution, and then the talc itself. It dipped. This is more forceful. It had the solution plus a talc. It's a Hormidin 3, which is a 0.08% IBA powder. And then down at the bottom, it's noteworthy that the US 812, an intermediate rooter, which means in the best of cases, you might get 60%. I mean, it's just and it's unpredictable. Beautiful roots coming out. So again, that same protocol that was integrated into the lab is very helpful. It seems to be producing roots quickly. I want to thank everyone for your patience, especially Sandy Wilson, who is my graduate advisor and is the best you could possibly work with, and Dr. Ed Stover is my boss. He allowed me to use all of his materials in lab and provide him with a protocol that seems to be very helpful for us, so we're happy with that. This is my office. Is there any questions?
Any questions for the...
Well, for the initial experiment, we take about a 15 centimeter cutting. All of them were apical for this particular experiment because I wanted them to be the same and be a little standardized. You remove all of the leaves except for one at the top, and you can even cut that back a little bit. You want some leaf tissue, but as little as possible because it doesn't have the ability to evapotranspirate because you just chopped off its roots. So that works very well. And then you dip in the, let it sit in the solution. And it, immediately when you cut it too, I found that if I cut and dip right away, you know, you get more of the solution being pulled up into the little cutting of the plant. And then that's for about 20 minutes. Later on in the playing with it, 5 minutes. If it's stronger, only a few minutes. It can be in the leaves. You can use it foliarly. And then I would dip in the towel, or in the initial one, I would just put it into the sand, and then we applied 5 mLs per week. But if you could look back and through the PowerPoints, if you're dealing with citrus, use the, I call it the sort of jumped up version, because that really gives very good rooting, very fast. I've had to trim them back. It gives new growth in an amazing period of time, which I hypothesize is that the spermidine is being pulled, you know, into the other tissues of the plant, that we have the spermidine acting systemically. So not only is it giving me faster rooting, but it's also giving me shoots faster as well, which is what we need. We need to get these little plants into testing, you know, with our insect of interest. So did that answer your question? Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay. Why did you decide to use Carrizo as one of your rootstocks and trust. From my experience, Carrizo is the easiest rootstock to do.
That's why. because
kind of an enhancement with your treatment.
Well, I do now, because Carrizo, when you have transgenic, first of all, you know you have an easy rooter. Carrizo is easy to work with. But I'm having full roots and new growth in 3 weeks instead of just a few roots in five. With the
and
first set...
Are easy to root too in media.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But it's
or
a lot...
Something like a cyan variety, for example. Mm-hmm. Jonathan,
actually, I've done it at the exact same time frame with Hamlin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hamlin and Gnarly Glow.
Have you done Duncan?
I haven't done Duncan, no. No, I haven't done Duncan yet.
Well, we probably don't have time there. We would definitely have time to publish it. And this is happening.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can talk a little bit later. Okay.
Yeah, be glad to.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Let me give a round of applause. Thank you.